88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to Shiro's Radio. This is where you'll hear something you may not even be aware you're missing. Women's voices in song and conversation. In radio, the vast majority of songs you'll hear in any given hour will be by a man or a male-led band on shows primarily hosted by men. So each week, we give you an hour of radio with a diverse playlist that turns up the volume of female-identifying voices across genres and generations. We celebrate the trailblazers and the visionaries. And as Gloria Steinem said, you can't empower women without listening to their stories. So each week, we'll feature an interview with an artist to hear their experiences and unique insights. This radio revolution starts now.
Thank you. dark, bright star. Since I could not fly beside you, I would chart my own course by you, and I'd sail it by your light. Bright star, I've sailed in all directions, I've followed your reflection to the farthest foreign shore. Bright star, bright star, I have anchored in the harbor.
seem to want to take her place. The best part of life, it seemed, the best part of life was a dream. The best part of waking up is when I'm breaking up to see reality never lives up to all that it used to be. Never seemed quite what it used to seem.
Wishing Beth Orton a very happy birthday. On Tuesday the 14th, there's Best Bit on Shiro's Radio. And if Wiki's right, that was released on her birthday in 1997. Also, something brand new from Anise Mitchell, Bright Star, off her upcoming self-titled album, which is her first solo work in over a decade. Looking forward to that. Welcome to Shiro's Radio. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's great to see you as always, my friends, as we turn up the volume of women's voices and song and conversation for the next hour. And before we continue, just a reminder that we've just launched a Patreon, and in this season of giving, I'm hoping that you'll join us there. Go from a listener to being an active part of making Shiro's happen. You'll support the work of making music a more fair and equal space for everyone, and help bring conversations like this week's Shiro interview with Nora Jones to the airwaves. Also, soon we're going to be putting out a podcast version. So go to shirosradio.com and become a Shiro supporter, and thank you. Now, wishing Taylor Swift a very happy birthday. It's on Monday, December 13th. Here's "Tis the Damn Season."
Just ride around, and the road not taking looks real.
Julian Baker's reimagining of Perry Como's A Dreamer's Holiday. And in case you missed it, check out our Shiro's interview from earlier this year in the archives at shirosradio.com. Also, wishing Taylor Swift a very happy birthday with Tis the Damn Season off Evermore. And Tis the Damn Season indeed. This week we kick off our Shiro's Feminist Miss with Nora Jones and the Shiro's Spotlight. That interview coming up next.
Subscribe and support independent public radio at thesocalsound.org.
Thanks to our friends at Live Nation, the SoCal Sound is your chance to see Daisy the Great. All You Need Is Time Tour coming to the Echo on April 28th. You can find contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase is necessary. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. Daisy the Great. The Echo, April 28th.
I was in love, it wasn't love. And now it's over, and now it's easy.
Music chosen by humans, not algorithms. This is the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Tis the season for holiday music. And however you may feel about it, the sounds of Christmas time are as inescapable as the lights and trees and candy canes. Thankfully for those of us that may want an alternative to the mainstream, artists and bands of all kinds annually contribute to the canon, either reimagining classics or writing new ones. And in the case of multi-Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Nora Jones, both. Now, if you're someone that's attuned to these things, it will come as no surprise that a majority of the traditional and classic Christmas songs that you hear were written by men. So here on Shiro's Radio, we're thrilled to celebrate Feministmas by showcasing the instant new holiday classics that Nora Jones has written for her amazing new holiday album, I Dream of Christmas, as well as some choice covers reinterpreted in that signature Nora Jones style. So break out the eggnog. We welcome Nora Jones as this week's holiday Shiro in the spotlight. Nora Jones, welcome to Shiro's Radio. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Congratulations on I Dream of Christmas. This is such an amazing album.
Thanks for listening.
Whenever you hear of an artist doing a Christmas album, you're like, okay, what's this going to be? Holiday albums come in all sizes and shapes. And this was like...
I know. Tell me about it.
Right?
Yeah.
I was reading the press release. It's like your first ever holiday album, but you've been doing holiday music for so many years now. Puss in Boots, you do your annual holiday extravaganza. You guys did that little Christmas album a couple years ago, I want to say, right?
Yeah.
So... it's not like you haven't done Christmas music before.
No, but I've never intentionally put out a Christmas album of my own. The Puss in Boots Christmas shows have been such a huge part of my last 10 years and so much fun. I think it sort of warmed me up for actually like leaning into something like this, you know?
So what inspired you to actually cross that line and make a Christmas album?
Well, last year, like during the beginning of the lockdown, we would listen to Christmas music on Sundays just to sort of cheer us up. I think it was snowing one Sunday in late March or April. I can't remember, but it was odd weather. And so we put on Elvis's Christmas album and we made pancakes. And then it kind of became a little bit of a tradition every Sunday. And it cheered us up, you know? There was a lot going on and it felt nice to just sort of pretend.
Amazing the effect that Christmas music can have on you like that. It's very comforting.
Yeah. Well, it's very comforting and it's very nostalgic and it brings you back to maybe a happier time or a wish you had a happier time, the movie version, you know, whatever your experience is. So after that, you know, I was excited for Christmas. We put our tree up extra early last year, as I think a lot of people did, just to sort of have that thing to look forward to. Also, I have little kids, so Christmas is really fun at this stage of life. But after Christmas, I got so sad, you know, taking the tree down. I kind of missed it. And then I thought, well, maybe I could think of recording some Christmas songs. I think I recorded one for a live stream around Christmas, and people seemed to like it. And then I started thinking about actually making a Christmas album of my own. And then I realized how many different flavors of Christmas albums there are. And I was like, what is my end going to be? And that's when I really started like, what the heck? You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
So what was your first step?
Well, I knew that if I just did classic songs, you know, I have a really big background in jazz and country and gospel blues kind of styles. I knew that I could make a beautiful record with the amazing plethora of material that already exists. And so I was like, well, let's see if there's any originals that pop out. And if not, we'll just do that. But like with the right production, right instrumentation, the right feeling. And I found a great producer, Leon Michaels, who just felt like a great fit. And we were friends. And he said he would do it with me. Neither of us knew what it was going to be yet. Then the next couple weeks, I was sort of just tooling around on the piano. And I ended up writing a bunch of songs or starting a bunch of ideas. And it ended up being the songs that are originals on the records or some of them. And they really sort of helped shape the record. I really liked them. So I was excited to record them alongside with these classics and just see what was happening. But I also felt a sort of longing in them. You know, they're not just happy old Christmas songs. You know, they're sort of sad and melancholy. And it's because of how I'd been feeling. And I think how a lot of people had felt there was a heaviness to the year. That's an understatement. But I was stuck all year with my kids and husband, and my mom ended up moving near me, which has been great. But what I missed during the pandemic was all my friends, because I wasn't used to not seeing them so often. And at the holidays, that's what I missed the most. And a lot of people miss their families, you know, because they couldn't go home for Christmas. And so a lot of these songs sort of were born out of that feeling of longing for togetherness and to have that connection.
Yeah, I mean, you really feel it. And I love, first of all, that the album is basically split right down the middle of originals and classics. And it puts the classics in a whole new frame, which was thought-provoking when I was listening to the album. And I was just thinking like, wow, first of all, a lot of these songs are well over 80 years old. And you're writing new classics. A lot of these really feel that way. And they feel so of the time. I would love to pick a song to start with here, play a little sample of one of the tracks. What would you like to start with?
Well, one of the first songs I started writing was the first song in the album, which I really love. I love the feeling of it. And I love the sentiment of it. And it was really me trying to get into the spirit of making a Christmas album. And the song is sort of about trying to get into the spirit of Christmas. You're not quite there, but you know, you want to feel it. You're just kind of like, not yet. But I like it. Christmas Calling, Jolly Jones in parentheses.
I want to hear the music play. I want to dance and laugh and sway. I want a happy holiday for Christmas. I could call you on the phone, sing a song that feels like home, instead of feeling all alone this Christmas.
Jones' new holiday album is called I Dream of Christmas. That's track number one, Christmas Calling, Jolly Jones, the first original that you wrote for this collection. You know, you said something about listening to other holiday records. How much listening did you do in preparation getting in that mindset? And part B of that question was there any internal pressure in terms of, wow, I'm writing a Christmas album, like this better be good?
I mean, a little. Basically, I knew that it had to be good or I wasn't going to bother releasing it. So I was just going to follow the path. And if it sucked, I definitely. But that's kind of how I feel in general about everything I do. So, you know, usually once you get to the end of the road, it feels like something personal and real. Whether everyone thinks it's good or not, at least if you do, that's the most important thing. But yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, with Christmas albums, there's so many classics. Choosing some of the covers was a little bit intimidating because of that reason. But as someone who's done a lot of covers, coming from singing the old jazz standards, I've already had experience with that. And again, I just feel like if you can make it your own, whatever it is, then that's all that matters. But I have the best playlist going of Christmas music. It is so good. I'm going to share it eventually. And so Leon and I were going back and forth sending really cool ideas, references for how we wanted it to sound, which there was a lot of Peggy Lee influencing this album, her Christmas stuff and her non-Christmas stuff. But also just like, God, finding albums I didn't really know. Like I didn't know the Staple Singers Christmas album. It's pretty incredible. There's a lot of songs I just didn't know. I mean, I love Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. I always listen to Christmas music around the holidays and sometimes in July.
What were Christmases like when you were a kid?
I had a hardworking single mom and it was just me and her. So usually we would go to my aunt or my uncle's or my grandma's house and it was great, but we didn't have a lot of our own home traditions. We didn't always put up a tree. We did when I was little, but I remember we had a cactus once. I mean, I grew up in Texas, so.
Right.
One year we went camping. So, you know, I feel like my mom was not as traditional, even though I bet she grew up very traditionally Christmassy. But yeah, we always were around our extended family.
Yeah, so that must have been a treat for you, being somebody that loves Christmas, to move to New York and finally get that East Coast experience of the snow and everything.
Oh, yeah, the snow. Even though it doesn't snow every year. Yes. I mean, I love that feeling. And I think I felt nostalgic for Christmas, partially from the few very traditional Christmases I had, but also just from movies and TV shows and growing up. You know, you see that stuff represented on TV and it makes you want it, whatever it is, even though nothing's perfect.
That's for sure. And speaking of movies, a couple of these classic songs, the covers that you do here are very connected to films. One that's very nostalgic, Charlie Brown Christmas. And then, of course, there's White Christmas. You know, it was weird. I grew up on Charlie Brown, as I'm thinking maybe you did too. And I never even thought about how old those songs were and Charlie Brown Christmas was. It goes back to the mid-60s.
I know. I grew up knowing that song and knowing it was from Charlie Brown, but I don't think I watched that special the same way if I was 10 years older. But still, it's sort of ingrained in my growing up. I knew the song before I tried to sing it. But the lyrics to that song in particular are really special. And it really captured the sentiment of what I felt like the album was about at its core. There's that lyric in that song, "Oh, that we could always see such spirit through the year." You know, it's talking about the spirit of Christmas, which is separate from all the technical sides of Christmas, the commercialization of Christmas, all of that. At the core, I think the album is more about, and also I just, for me personally, Christmas is sort of about that spirit and trying to keep it all year, just like the sense of giving and sharing and caring and all that. That song captures it lyrically, for real.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, one for all the children call their favorite time of.
Here with Nora Jones. The new holiday album is called I Dream of Christmas. She's our guest today on She Rose Radio. My name is Carmel Holt, one of my very, very favorites, now made new and fresh and beautiful by you and Leon Michaels. When you go to record a cover, are there any elements that you feel are necessary to have there to make it a Nora Jones song?
Not really. I mean, I think over the years, I've definitely tried to experiment more and more. But actually, for this album, I did want to make sure that we got the elements that felt both satisfying to people, but also satisfying to me, to where I felt like I was pushing myself and trying something new. I mean, I knew the piano was going to be a big part of it. I knew who I was getting for my rhythm section. I had Brian Blade on the drums and Tony Scher on the upright bass. And I knew that they were going to play the different styles that I wanted in the right way, that didn't feel like we were trying to touch every style, because that's not what this is about. But, you know, I made sure to sneak some pedal steel in, because I was dying for that pedal steel on a few tracks. And I mean, I think the groove on the first track is super funky. So I was really pleased with how it all came together. And this was part of me working with Leon and talking about it before. Like, I wanted those classic sort of sounds, both old and sort of classic me, whatever that means, but I know it means something. But also I wanted to feel fresh and kind of new, and not like we were just slapping a bunch of stuff on to get it all done. You know what I mean?
So totally.
I know exactly what you mean. I definitely tried on this more to get those things than I have on albums, because I feel very free in general, but I knew for a Christmas album, it would be nice to have all those elements.
And mission accomplished for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned the piano playing, because that was the other thing that really struck me listening to these 13 songs. Your piano playing is spectacular and it really shines on this album. I love how forward it is. On this album, for some reason, it really stood out to me, and I was wondering if that was intentional.
Well, I think the last several albums and the last several years, it has very much taken more of a front and center role. I mean, you know, you think of me as being a piano player because they always have these pictures of me at the piano, and I'm always performing with the piano usually. But my first album, the songs were very guitar driven and the piano was sort of sprinkled on top for a lot of those songs. And I feel like I've leaned into playing piano as the driving force a lot more the last few years, my last few albums too. And also it helps that most of this album was recorded trio, just drums, bass, and me on the piano. And we layered everything in after. So that definitely made it sort of the driving force.
When did you first start playing the piano? I don't know if I even know how old you were.
I was 7 and I had already sang in church choir for several years and I loved music and I begged for piano lessons. So my mom got a piano. I remember it was like a surprise. She had it delivered while I was in the bathtub and I came out of the bath and I was like, what? After my first few lessons, I hated it. I mean, I didn't hate it. I liked my teacher a lot, but did not want to practice every day. And I told her I wanted to quit. And she said, well, you can quit after 5 years, because then you'll have the foundation. If you want to quit, you can quit and then come back to it. And after 5 years on the dot, I quit for like a year. And then I got into jazz. And then she found me this teacher who could teach me a different way of learning, you know, because up till then I was just taking classical lessons and I learned a lot of theory. So when I went back and I started taking lessons with the interest I had. It was great because I had 5 years of learning already.
Yeah, it's so important to find that music that you relate to. How did you find your way to jazz? Who turned you on to that?
My mom took me to some concert. It was like a big band concert from the local college. It wasn't anything fancy, but I just really liked it. And then she checked out the Smithsonian Jazz Collection from the library, which had all the classics. And I fell in love with Billie Holiday and Bill Evans and Charles Mingus. And then I was just kind of hooked.
We're with Norah Jones. The new album is called I Dream of Christmas. It's a Christmas album, of course. I would love to play another one of these originals. There was one of these songs, I believe it's You're Not Alone, that really reminded me of the band Christmas Must Be Tonight.
Oh, yeah. That was on my list.
Talk to us about this song.
I love this song. All the other songs were, the originals were written already, but this one was like a last second thing. I was just kind of playing the circular chord progression, and Ryan and Tony started playing along, and it felt really nice. And Leon came in, and we were tinkering around with different chords. And then a few days later, I came up with a melody, and we went ahead and recorded it, even though we didn't know what it was. And then we finished it when we were together after the sessions with the band, and I just love it. You know, this album, for the covers, we didn't choose a lot of gospel songs, but we ended up writing two. I mean, we didn't plan that from the beginning. Like, if we hadn't written those two songs, we might have done Oh Holy Night or something else, you know, to sort of fill that void.
Yeah, this one is so beautiful. And actually, when I dug through the credits, who's singing? That was what I wanted to know. There were so many beautiful vocals and it sounded like a choir. Is that all you?
It's all me. And some of it is really high. He has some hilarious video of me squeaking up high. But I feel like that song especially is so heavily influenced by just growing up listening to Aretha. The way her harmonies were always sat and like they were their own parts sometimes. And you remember right. Ain't No Way? I mean, yeah, I think it's Sissy Houston in the background singing that high part. I mean, it's part of the song to me. That was a big part of my influence on that one.
If you are tired and if you are scared, you're
We're here with Norah Jones. The new album is called I Dream of Christmas. You had a really busy pandemic. I don't know if it's despite the pandemic or because of the pandemic, but 2020, you put out your 7th solo album, Pick Me Up Off the Floor. Puss in Boots put out your 2nd album. You put out your 1st live album and then the EP Winter Jones. Do you sleep? When did you have time to do this record? How did it all fit in?
Well, the Puss in Boots album came out like Valentine's Day 2020. My album was already done. I finished right before the pandemic, so it was supposed to come out in May, and we ended up pushing it to July, I think. It sounds like I was busier than I was. Mostly I was doing interviews for those. You know, the live album was a fun thing to put together. You know, it was already recorded, so all I had to do was choose the songs.
Right. It's a good magic trick. Just like stockpile a bunch of stuff and then put it all out at once.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about this, but was there any kind of a new muscle that you feel like you stretched or discovered writing Christmas songs versus writing your original songs?
Yeah, there kind of was. It's definitely different to write with an intent. For me, I usually don't do that. I'm pretty free and I love to find little paths and just follow them. But, you know, for the Christmas thing, I was sitting there thinking about Christmas and thinking about my intent, you know. It couldn't just be a random song. It had to technically be a Christmas song.
Right.
And I remember like just thinking about it, absorbing it all, and listening to a lot of favorite Christmas music. And then one day I was in the bathtub and I had like five random ideas. I was like, okay, what about this? You know, you just get a little manic and excited sometimes about a project, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that was the moment for me. And I have my voice recorder, literally like the water's running on these voice recordings, but I was like, okay, I want that Christmas glow. Like I just had these little snippets and then I went through them later and that's when the song sort of came a little more alive. But I had like five or six ideas that bath. I was like, should I do a Christmas album? I'm inspired. And I was like, yes, I should, you know, it'd be fun. Also, I feel like making this album was sort of something to look forward to for me. My last album was sort of heavy and dark and I loved it so much. But doing an album with a theme being Christmas just felt like something joyful to look forward to, even though it ended up being a little bit on the melancholy side in the end. That's fine.
It's totally fine.
It's totally fine. But I think when I was trying to decide whether or not to make it, I think that's what I was excited about. I was like, okay, well, this will be kind of fun for a change. It's just different.
It'll be interesting to see what comes after in terms of your writing style.
Yeah, I don't know. I love changing it up. It helps with the inspiration thing, you know.
And you've always been so good at that. Your catalog is so varied and evolving all the time. And you stretch yourself in all different directions. It's pretty amazing to look back.
Thanks.
Have you done any looking back during the pandemic? It's been sort of a nostalgic time for a lot of people.
I know.
Like there's been a lot of memoirs coming out because people are doing
therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have done a lot of both. A lot of looking back, just in my own internal dialogue. Oh, God, why did I do that? Now, you know, I'm trying to like post stuff on social media, like fun throwback things, because there is a lot when I think about it. And I've got this list going of fun stuff to post that, like, you know, I hadn't watched in a long time or at all because I was there. Yeah, it's been really nice. And I do feel like I've done a lot of very different things, which is so nice. And you said something nice, which is that I stretch in all different directions. But when I really think about it, I think I've really just been very open. And it hasn't been about me stretching to this place and trying to do this thing. It's always been about me like being like, oh, what's over there? You know, let's check it out, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great distinction to make. And I think it's probably a better frame is that openness to collaboration, to exploring, just being curious about where your creativity can go.
Yeah, I've just been open to it. And it's been the biggest blessing for sure.
Nora Jones is our guest here on She Rose Radio. The new album is called I Dream of Christmas. Why don't you pick a song to play here?
My favorite one on this album, I mean, I love them all, but I really love the version of the Chipmunk song we did because that song is actually a really great song, but it's always chipmunky, you know, so,
yeah.
Which is super nostalgic. And I love that version. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I love the version we did. The horns are great. And it was fun to do my own harmonies again.
I love that one too.
Christmas Don't Be Late. Yeah.
1958 originally.
Yeah. See, that's crazy.
That's crazy town. Nora Jones version here on She Rose Radio.
Christmas, Christmas time is near. Time for toys and time for cheer. We've been good, but we can last. Hurry Christmas, hurry fast. Wanna
Jones is our guest on She Rose Radio. Her new Christmas album is called I Dream of Christmas. Thank you for writing such amazing holiday music for us this year that feels so of the moment, filled with love and melancholy and all of the things that we've been feeling. What a gift you've given to all of us. Thanks, Nora.
Thank you. Well, thanks for listening. I appreciate the feedback. It's nice to hear.
Thank you so much for being here on She Rose Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks once again to Nora Jones for joining us. Her eighth studio album, I Dream of Christmas, is available now on Blue Note Records. Next, we bring the hour to a close with a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Ginny Mascaro of KXT in Dallas, when Shiro's Radio continues.
I don't know who said it first, but do what you love is great advice. I'm Andy Chanley, and every afternoon from 2 to 6, I get to play you around 6 or so great songs as you drive home. I love doing that. And wall-to-wall music without a lot of talky-talk? That's pretty easy for you to love. Let's spend the afternoon together on 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Willie Mae Thornton, better known as Big Mama Thornton, born on December 11th, 1926. One of the foremothers of rock and roll, she was a rhythm and blues singer, songwriter, and trailblazing guitarist. Her career started to take off in the late 40s when she moved from Alabama to Houston. In 1951, she signed her first record contract with Peacock Records and performed at the Apollo Theater in 1952. Also that same year, she was the first to record Lieber and Stoller's Hound Dog. It went on to sell 500,000 copies, went to number one on the R&B chart, and helped to bring the dawn of rock and roll. While the record made Big Mama Thornton a star, she reportedly saw little of the profits, and that same song went on to become a big hit for Elvis Presley, as we know, in 1957. So while we may think of this as an Elvis song, it was Big Mama Thornton who recorded it as an anthem of black female power, celebrating the birth 95 years ago on December 11th of Big Mama Thornton on She Rose Radio.
You! You told me you
Elvis who? One of the founding mothers of rock and roll, Big Mama Thornton, who was born on December 11th, 1926. She would have been 95 this year. And Hound Dog on Shiro's Radio. I'm Carmel Holt. Each week, I love to close the hour by turning the mic and the music over to a fellow radio Shiro from one of our affiliates. This week, it's Jeannie Muscoro from KXT in Dallas.
Thank you, Carmel. Big fan of your show, so it's a big honor to do this. The song I picked for Shiro's features an inspiration of mine and an absolute American legend. She is a survivor. She's a thriver. And a woman who's lived all the songs she's written. Her big disco hit back in 1976, Young Hearts Run Free, was about pulling herself out of an abusive relationship. She also recently beat breast cancer. And she turned 81 in March, proving that it is never too late to keep forging your path. And this song jumped out at me because it's Sunshine in a Bottle. Sam Halliday of Two Door Cinema Club, his side project Shibashi, he enlisted the great Candy Staton for this song called Open My Eyes. Hope you like it.
I've been thinking about you and all the things you said. Maybe you were a little right. I can hold my head up high and know that I did this all for you. And maybe you were right that I need a little distance from you. So I call you out in the middle of my darkness. Maybe you were a little right. I can hold my head up high and low in the middle of my darkness. Nothing can be nothing if it makes you feel like this. But to find out how you felt before when I thought you were a better part of me.
Featuring Candy Staton, Open My Eyes, a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Jeannie Muscoro of affiliate station KXT in Dallas. And that does it for this week's Shiro's Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Sarah Holtz with production assistance from Emma Philippos. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Please visit shirosradio.com. It's where you can now become a Shiro Shiro's supporter with our new Patreon. You can also make a one-time donation or get your favorite Shiro a gift from the Shiro shop. Keep in touch on Instagram and Twitter at Shiro's Radio. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Someone